Now, author Paula Kamen has had a chronic daily headache for 18 years, since 1991. When we met her earlier this year in a talkback called The Headache, she was soon to give birth. You might remember her, actually. Today we're going to cross to Paula in her home in Chicago to get her to tell us how life is with baby and headache. But first, here's Paula on Life Matters back in May explaining how she's come to terms with the headache, as she calls it, but not without ambivalence.
I have become a deeper person, more empathetic, but it's not worth it. Yeah, I'd rather not have all this pain and be much more shallow.
Yes. Now, your headache, is it a migraine?
Yeah, it's a lot of the headaches are all related. It isn't specifically diagnosed as a migraine. It's diagnosed as what's called chronic daily headache, and that's more common than you think. That's basically a headache every day. It's one of the most disabling types of headache, and it's the least treatable because it's so constant. And I'm part of the 0.5% of the population that has it nonstop, and about 3 to 4% of the population of the world does have a headache every day, or what's classified as chronic daily headache. And that's across class and nationality, culture.
Yeah.
So,
when did yours start?
This is in 91 when I was 23 years old, which I was thinking that it was a contact lens problem because it started to happen when I put those in. But then I realized that there was just the sensitivity that was building over time with the nerves. And I just became more and more sensitive. The nerves are basically hyperreactive. And it's been so confusing, over the last 17 years, to figure out what's the symptom, what's the cause.
Mm.
And just in the last several years, there has been a lot more research about chronic daily headache and migraine as being rooted in neurology. It happens with people who have a genetic predisposition to it, but then it could also be triggered by outside factors, by certain foods with some people, or the weather, or hormones.
Now, you all started at 23,
right.
And actually, I understand that's quite common. The incidence is high in young women.
Yes, the age of onset is often in the teenage years and in the 20s. And it often starts as a migraine, and then for chronic daily headache over time, it evolves to become daily. This is yet another reason to have awareness about chronic daily headache, because there's some theories that if you do address it in the beginning, that you can sort of nip it in the bud, and stop it before it becomes so chronic, and hence embedded in your brain a lot more. The circuits get much more difficult to break, once they're established.
In fact, I understand basically there's a greater prevalence among women of all ages, and you believe that explains some of the attitudes towards headaches.
Yes. Chronic daily headache happens to women more than men at a ratio of 2 to 1, and migraine happens even more to women at a ratio of 3 to 1, and yes, that definitely has had an impact in how it hasn't been taken very seriously. That often an exacerbating influence is indeed hormonal, and that makes it easy, to just blame on those crazy hormones. That it's just this hysteria. But actually, hormones, are just one of many factors, that make it worse. And a headache is it's literally in the head, and so it just inherently has that connotation of being all in your head.
And that was Paula Kamen in May, and she joins me again now. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, when we spoke to you before, you were expecting a baby. I know you've got one now. How's it going?
Right. Yeah, it's going pretty well. Thomas was born on July 5th, so it's just a few months after we talked.
Right, so he's what, 5 months?
Yeah, a little over 5 months.
Hmm. Well, when I was speaking to you, I speculated that the hormone rush after giving birth might chase your headache away. Oxytocin, I think, is the magic ingredient. Did that happen?
Yeah, you were on the right track. That you were more optimistic than I was, and actually, to my surprise, the upheaval I think made it better since then, and I think that was tied to the breastfeeding or to whatever feel good fuzzy hormones get triggered with the breastfeeding. So unfortunately, Thomas, went on a breastfeeding strike about a month ago, so that stopped, and I think that it's up now to its original level.
Oh, right.
But it was good while it lasted.
Yes. Now.
So yeah, that sometimes happens to women either during pregnancy or after that their headaches get either better or worse.
You were concerned, obviously, about what young babies do to your sleep. Because sleeplessness makes headaches worse. How have you gone with that?
Yeah, it's certainly been challenging, just as I thought, but not anything that's driven me to the level of insanity or violence or anything. Yeah, it's been challenging, but then still manageable. And I think I talked a little bit about how it's important when you have chronic pain to accept it, then you can sort of plan around it. So that's helped. You know, that to the hospital, I brought drugs and ice packs for the headache. You know, which made that time easier. And I made lots of plans to get help from people, and my husband does wake up and does the first feeding, so that means that I get a decent amount of sleep. That's made a huge difference. So yeah, there have been times, especially in the first few months when he wasn't sleeping through the night, that the sleep was really disrupted and the pain got a lot worse. But I've been able to make it tolerable, through this, to the help of my husband and management tools here.
So I suppose there was a kind of golden window when he was still breastfeeding and he'd started sleeping through the night.
right, exactly. There were about two, three months there. Yeah, where it was actually better than it had been since it started about 18 years ago. So I guess the only thing to do is to have another kid, to start that breastfeeding cycle. So I have heard that some women use different kinds of birth control pills to imitate that effect of the breastfeeding, but it is very difficult to find the right combination. So when you deal with hormones and headache, it's hard to. Mm. To treat it, with any kind of drugs or pills.
On Life Matters today, we are catching up with Paula Kamen, who you may recall we spoke to in May when we did a talk back on the headache. And Paula was really our kind of star performer. She's written a book about this. She's had a headache since 1991 when she was 23 years old. And so we knew that Paula was going to have a baby. So we thought that just at the end of the year, we would catch up with her and see how things are going. And, it's a mixed story, as you've been hearing. How much, Paula, does it change your days with Thomas when your head isn't too bad?
When the head isn't too bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what do you mean by that? How much does it change the days? Or does it make it worse? Or?
No, I guess I'm thinking, when you have a young baby, it's very easy to feel, and I can remember this myself, and I wasn't the primary caregiver, obviously. I was the dad, and my wife was doing most of the looking after. But little things can quickly become big things, and it's much better if you're feeling not too tired. And it occurred to me it would be better for you if the headache's not too bad.
Right. Yeah. There have been times. And that's mainly in the beginning, where almost every new parent can identify, where he just cries and you don't know why it is, and you try everything. You try standing on your head and hopping and doing everything you can to make him stop, and he won't. Yeah, and that's certainly a lot worse with a headache. But I think in living in learning to live with chronic pain over the last 18 years, I have developed a certain calmness in the face of stress, and almost like a zen-like detachment to certain things like that, where I'm still concerned about the crying, but I don't have as intense of a panic reaction, you know, that I may have had in my younger years. You know, that to deal with the pain, I've had to be able to sort of detach myself emotionally from, you know, this desire to panic, or or to have a big reaction to external stressors, you know, and that's helped me get through.
Actually, it occurs that maybe because you're so used to coping with the pain of the headache, that you're actually dealing with motherhood better than a lot of people.
Yeah, this is what others have observed when they see me, that I'm really not in a big panic, you know, over times when it gets tough, and I am good at accepting uncertainty, you know, that there are just some situations where there's going to be chaos and stress, but there's no use yet in getting all upset about it. So yeah, that is true, that I have developed a lot of these skills and being able to cope, yeah, that have really helped.
When you have a new baby and you meet other people with new babies, you quickly get a sense of where yours stands in terms of how difficult they are. What is Thomas like as a baby?
Yeah, I was also lucky that in the gene pool we got lucky in our lottery here, you know, that he is generally pretty calm, and when he cries, there's usually a reason for it, that he's not colicky, just crying for no reason. So that helps too. I do know, yeah, that a lot of it is genetic, that sometimes you end up with a kid, yeah, that won't sleep through the night, you know, until he's much older. Thomas slept through the night after just 9 weeks. And he's a really good sleeper. He sleeps 12 hours a night. So, yeah, that definitely helps, that he's so mild-mannered.
Well, good luck. Good luck with it, Paula. And thank you very much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
That's Paula Kamen, who's the author of All in My Head, which is a mixture of memoir and journalistic investigation with a healthy dose of black humour as well. It's published by Perseus Books, and you can find Paula's website as well by going to ours. That's at abc.net.au/rn/lifematters.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.